This is a kind of a pivotal verse. I couldn't, most of the time when you see that word herein or therefore or one of those words, it usually gets me looking, what is it referring to? And honestly, on this one, I don't know if it was referring to the verses prior to it or if it's referring to the verses that follow. It says, herein is my Father glorified. And I don't know if it's in the things. I realize it can apply to both, I suppose, but I really couldn't nail it down. Most of the time I can get a feel for exactly what it's referring to. And then this one, I the more I study, the more I realize it's just one of those pivotal verses. So that's where we're going to start. It says, herein is my Father glorified, that you may bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. First thing I want to look at in verse 8 says, herein is my Father glorified. And verse 9 says, as the Father had loved me. It's interesting. The Old Testament really doesn't refer to him as Father. There is a few places, I think, in the topical Bible when you look at God and his father, the fatherhood of God. It lists about 16, I think it's 16 verses in various places that it refers to, and it doesn't even call him Father. It alludes to them being his children, and if they're his children, then you get the concept that he's the Father. It speaks in some of the prophets, the minor prophets, and in some of the major prophets, Isaiah and Jeremiah, speaks of him, but it's prophetic. It's in a sense, I will be a father to you. You really don't see him referred to as Father until the New Testament. And even then, it's not his name. The word where it says, herein is my Father, that word Father is no different than Father Abraham or any of that. It's the same word in the Greek. So it's not his name, so to speak. It's a surname. A surname is added to a person's name as one indicating a circumstance of birth or some characteristic or achievement. My name is Michael. My surname is Sharp because it is a circumstance of birth. I'm birthed from my father, therefore I'm Michael, and the surname being Sharp. It relates me to my family. Okay, is there, understand what I'm saying? So a surname is a name added to a person's name as one indicating a circumstance of birth or some characteristic or achievement. Pastor would be a surname. My name is Mike or Michael, and Pastor Mike or Michael would be a surname based on a characteristic or achievement. The characteristic being that of a shepherd, okay, or achievements, some would say, because of that piece of paper that hangs on a wall every once in a while, a license or something like that. That's what it would be recognized as. When Jesus says, herein is my Father glorified, it's a surname. He's taking that on. Okay, he's adding it to. It's Father. His name is God. His name is Lord. There's other names throughout Scripture. But Father is a surname to that. It says, as the Father, verse 9 says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue or abide ye in my love. Verse 10 says, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. That word keep means to observe, to preserve, observe, preserve, and reserve. Okay? If I'm going to keep, if I'm going to keep a candy bar, okay, I got to observe the candy bar first. I walk into the store and I observe the candy bar. I preserve it. I put it in a safe place, and I am reserving it for future use, if it makes it that far. Okay, but to keep something, you've got to observe it first. You've got to look at it. It has to mean something to you. You preserve it. You set it aside for something special, okay, and it's reserved for that special purpose. So to keep, it says to keep, it says if you keep my commandments, that word commandment is that which is prescribed to one by reason of his office. This is, Ephesians refers to the law of commandments. Okay, the law, this will take me a minute because I still don't know if I've got myself completely wrapped around this. The law means to parcel out, generally without reference to a particular people or state. Okay, the law of sowing and reaping. Okay, it doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile, doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter if you're male or female, doesn't matter if you're child, young or old, doesn't matter who it is. The law of sowing and reaping is going to happen. Okay, you can't escape that. It's kind of like the boundary. Okay, in a sense, to parcel out, what I started seeing was the law would be that parcel, would be like the Garden of Eden. Okay, there's the law. This is where you're going to live. He placed him here. This is where you're going to live. And then the commandment, do not eat of that tree, would be the commandment or that, what's the word I'm looking for here? It would be that prescription. It's an authoritative prescription. Okay, here's where you're going to live. Here's the parcel I'm giving you, and here's the commandment or the authoritative prescription that you're going to live there in. Does that make sense? Help me out here. All right. It's not a suggestion. It is an authoritative prescription. The prescription's personal. The law is general for everybody. The commandment is for you personally. Okay? Man, I had this example going through my head and I just drew a big, huge blank. If I go to the doctor with a headache and he tells me, take 2 aspirin and call me in the morning. Okay? That's my prescription. That's what the doctor prescribing me. If you go in there and your hand has been cut off and he tells you, take 2 aspirin and call me in the morning, is that going to work for you? No, your prescription is going to be a little bit different, right? Now, there still may be some similarities to it, like call me in the morning, but he's not going to just tell you to take 2 aspirin. He's going to have a different prescription for you. The commandment is a very personal thing. What's going to work for you? God knows you and God knows me, and he knows, being the great physician, he knows what I need. We may have similar circumstances or similar wounds, but he knows how to prescribe a very personal thing for Jesse. He knows how to deal with my hurts in a very, very personal, intimate way. These are the commandments that it's talking about. It is the authoritative prescription. He being the authority that looks upon my heart and knows all the defilement, all the wounds, all the junk in me. He knows how to prescribe a path for me that will walk me into restoration and healing. The law being the same. He wants all of us to be restored. The parcel that he's laid out, the kingdom of God for all of us to partake of, is for all of us. The sowing and the reaping, all these different things will function in all of that. But there is a specific spoken word, a commandment, an authoritative prescription that he has for each individual, and it's birthed out of his love. If you keep my commandments, if you will observe the commandment, if you will preserve it, and you will reserve yourself to it, the authoritative prescription, okay? Jeremiah 17:5-8 is another law. Cursed be the man that trusts in man and leans on flesh, or trusts his flesh for his arm, I think is how it says it. I get so many translations, I'm forgetting it now. And whose heart departs from the Lord, for he shall be like the heath in the desert. He shall be like the naked and vulnerable in the desert. He shall not see when he comes into something good. He shall dwell in the parched places in the wilderness, in the angry places of the mouth, in a barren land, having nothing and all alone. Doesn't matter who you are. You trust in yourself. You trust in another man. That curse is going to play out. There's the law. Every single time. It's going to play out. You trust in man. You'll end up, the end result of that, you're going to end up all alone. Now, you may be sitting in this room right now, and if you've been trusting in yourself, physically, you're not alone, but how many of you can feel alone in here with all the people? There are times we just got stuff going on in our life, and we walk in, it doesn't matter if there's a million people there, you still feel all alone inside. We're gonna come, that's the place that you come to when you've been trusting in yourself or trusting in another man. That law is gonna play out. His authoritative prescription or the commandment for me in that is gonna be those things, gonna lead me back to the other side of that law, which is, blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord. For he shall be like the tree planted by the waters, whose roots go down deep. And I don't remember that part of the scripture because I usually focus on pointing how we've been trusting in ourselves and not in God. I think I need to focus on that a little more, huh? The whole thing is knowing where you're not going to be anxious in the year of drought. You're not going to worry because your roots and what you're grounded into is going to be down into the source, the river of life. And his commandment is going to be that authoritative prescription that's going to bring me out of the curse and into the blessing so that I can flourish within the law, within that law, within that guideline. His commandment's going to bring me to there because he wants to bless me because he loves me. Agreed? Does God love you this morning? So, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Abide means to remain in a given place, to remain in a given state, to remain in a given relation, and to remain in a given expectancy. Okay? So here's my translation. If you keep, if you observe, preserve, and reserve my authoritative prescription, you shall abide. You will remain in the given place, the given state, the given relation, and expectancy of my love. Sure. If you keep, observe, preserve, and reserve, if you keep, if you will observe his commandment for you, if you will preserve it, and if you will reserve yourself to it, his authoritative prescription, you shall abide, you will remain in the given place, state, relation, and expectancy of my love. I said that faster because I was just testing her shorthand. I know Laura Harder had no shorthand, so anybody else writing, I'll repeat it again slower. Aaron? 10. John 15:10. If you keep, observe, preserve, and reserve my authoritative prescription, you shall abide. You will remain in the given place, state, relation, and expectancy of my love. So if you will stay in that place, you can always have a given expectancy of his love. You will always have a relation to that love and know how it applies to you and what it means to you. You will always be in a state, in a condition of mind and heart and soul of his love. And you will be in that place. You're going to know no matter where you're at. If you're walking with him, if you're keeping that authoritative prescription that he has for you, if you're walking in that, believing into it and walking into that, everywhere you are, you can't make a mistake in that place. You can't do anything wrong in that place. As long as you're being obedient to what he's telling you. The commandment's not such a bad thing when you think about it. We automatically go commandment and think fear and oh no, what if I fail? It's not about that. It's about seeing the love behind it. That commandment, the thing that he would speak to you, is out of love. It's that Ravi Zacharias, if I love you and you don't love me in return, I hurt because I've lost something. If God loves me and I don't love God in return, God hurts because I've lost something. We're not... His commandment to you isn't that he has to have you do something. Don't do it. You are not taking away or adding anything to God. You can't. He's in a position where he's completely fulfilled in the Trinity, everything being fulfilled. He even has the expression, a place to express his love. He didn't create you because he had to have something to love. He created you his birth out of the purest love, and I don't even know how to put this into words. Everything's complete within the Trinity. Within the Trinity, there is a place for him to express his love. Everything is complete. He doesn't need us. And the commandment isn't, you have to do this because my life depends on you doing this. Doesn't work that way. It's birthed out of this complete purity, this complete love and heart that just goes, I love you. This is, if you will receive it and understand that he's the highest authority, and you'll see it as a prescription for your life to bring you into the fullness of joy, to bring you into the fullness of all these things, to turn your mourning into dancing, and all of these different things that the scripture talks about, if you'll receive it in the love that it's intended, it's not a fearful thing. That fear changes, and we're going to get into that. Yes. Right. That's the 10, the last part of 10 says, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. He abides there. He remains in it. He's constantly observing, preserving, and reserving the whole thing. Everything that we've talked about that He's asking us to do in keeping it, He did it. That's why He walks in purity. That's why all of it, why He was successful at all of it. It wasn't anything in and of Himself. He surrendered and in His flesh was just absolutely obedient to everything the Father said. Everything He said, everywhere He went, everything that Jesus did was because He saw the Father doing it. Okay? Or He heard the Father saying it. We can do the same thing. Well, in theory. That's the goal. Okay? All right. Turn to... Where am I at here? 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 13. It says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end. That word where it says hope to the end means perfectly hope. Maturely expect. Be sober and with a mature expectancy, have a mature expectancy for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revealing, at the unveiling of Jesus Christ. Have a mature expectancy of the grace being brought to you at the revelation or the unveiling of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, okay, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. Okay, as obedient children, not fashioning yourself according to the former lusts in your ignorance, which describes the disobedient child, right? It says, as obedient children, it's important, not just as children, but as the obedient child, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, not when you were disobedient to the things of God, but as He which called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation or in all manner of conduct. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, this is the one right here, just that little part right there, that just set me back thinking yesterday, and I didn't know where to go. And if you call on the Father, it doesn't say, and if you call on God, it says, and if you call on the Father, that's not His name, that's a surname. Which means you've got to recognize, if you remember, the surname is a name added to a person's name as an indication of circumstance of birth or of characteristic or of achievement. So for me to call Him Father, if I put the surname Father and recognize Him in that, that means I have to recognize myself as a child of God. Yeah, I hope your wheels are spinning like mine was, because it seemed so obvious to me. It was like, well, duh, If I call on Him as Father, if I truly understand what I'm saying and not just making it sound good and calling on our Father in heaven, if I truly understand what I'm saying, I have to see myself as a child. I have to see myself. It has to be an indication or a characteristic or a circumstance of birth. I have to first believe in the fact that I'm born of Him, or I will never call Him Father. They ask Jesus, how do you pray? This is how you pray. Our Father, which is in heaven. Wait a minute. Think about that for a second. Lord, how do we pray? First, you have to see yourself as a child of God. and pray from that position, from that state, from that relation, from that expectancy, you have to believe that you're a child of God. Lord, how do we pray? Our Father, from the position of a child. Pray from the position of a child, knowing, believing, expecting, observing, reserving myself, knowing He is my Father, which means I'm His child. Woo! Yeah. Think about that for a minute. You can't say, oh, Father, until you see yourself as a child. Anything less than that, you're giving Him a surname and you're just speaking it out there. It means nothing. Child of God. Only the child. You're not going to walk up to my earthly father and say, oh, Father Sharp. He's going to look at you like, what? If you know my dad, he's probably going to laugh. Think about that. If you call on him as father, you got to see yourself as a child of God first. Oh, this goes back to January when God told me my head's hitting the pillow in Richard Springs. I'm laying down that night, not really knowing what's going on. I lay in my head down, and as soon as I hit the pillow, God said, come to me as son. What? And I realized, I don't know how to do that. What? Because my whole life I've been looking at it, and it's easy for me to recognize the failures of my earthly father. And what's even easier is I relate God, when I hear about His name as Father, when I hear people refer to Him as Father, it's really easy to relate the failures of your earthly father to our heavenly Father. How many get held back by that? We have a hard time with this whole father thing. If you're having a hard time with the father thing, you're having a hard time with knowing you're His child. Mm-hmm.
And whether or not you've had a good or a bad relationship with your father, my dad wasn't perfect, but I know he loved me, and I always rested in that. And when God said, I'm Daddy God to you, He's always been that to me ever since my dad died. He's a Daddy God to me.
And that part is complete and done. When He said, I'm Daddy God to you now, I'm Father God to you now. The struggle isn't us seeing that He's Father. The struggle is us coming into the place of knowing that we're His child first. Because if I come into the place of knowing that I'm His child and the things and the commandments that He speaks to me are for my good and they're an authoritative prescription to bring me into the blessing and into the joy and all the things and all the peace. How many of us just want peace? I've got to come into that place of knowing I'm the child because then I'll see it. I've got to believe into the things from the position of a child. This is my father speaking to me. How many of you want to please your earthly fathers? I did. That's all I ever wanted to do. All I did, probably till the time I was, I don't know, there's a part of me that probably still does it. All I want is my earthly father's approval. I just want him to be proud of me. And I don't know why. I've thought about it. As a man, I've thought about it. Why do I want his approval? He's just a man. And I don't mean that in a negative, just derogatory way at all. I just mean it. My earthly father is just a man. So he is. Cursed be the man that trusts in man. Cursed be Michael that trusts in his earthly father. That's what I did my whole life. And what did I end up doing? I ended up being naked and vulnerable in the desert, not seeing when I was coming into something good. I ended up dwelling in the angry places of the mouth because all I wanted was him to be proud of me. All I wanted was his approval. I ended up in a barren land with nothing and all alone because I could never get his approval. I never could. Never have. But he would sit here today with tears running down his face and tell you how proud he is. I get it, but it's still not, it didn't fulfill me. When I knew that my dad was proud of me and I knew my dad loves me and I knew that he validated me and all of these things that he has said in my later years, it's still not enough. Laura?
it was a type of shadow of the true relationship as human sons with God the Father.
Well said. Well said. Can you say that again? Cammy's laughing right now. She thought that was... Can you say that again? Yeah.
The reason it bothered you, what you must remember is that it's the significance of the relationship of us and the Father that bothered you with your earthly father. And what God is drawing you toward is the fact that, yes, your earthly father is the type and shadow of what the relationship should be between you as my son and me, Father God.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And my father's approval did not come by me obeying his rules. I never got his approval that way. It wasn't me obeying the rules. It didn't matter how well I obeyed the rules. There was always more to be expected of me. There was always something. I mean, there's so many different ways that we look for validation. You're right. It is based on a relationship, and it is a type and shadow. What he's drawing us into is understanding that we're a child of God. That's the relationship he wants to draw us into. Cindy?
For a long time, I haven't had any trouble with my sister. God is my dad. I've been having a dad. But now I'm in a stage
of life where I'm looking at him as my mom.
It's much more
difficult. Mm-hmm. Because of you. Exactly, and that's funny because the rest of that verse that we're talking about right there, and if you call on the Father who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. So, we're right there. If you call him Father, okay, what this is saying, if you call on the Father, if you see yourself as a child, when you call him Father, when you pray, my Father, which is in heaven, when you're doing that, you are proclaiming that you are born of him. If you call him Father, you are proclaiming his love for you. What was that definition? It says the same, a name added to a person's name, as an indication of circumstance of birth, okay, I'm proclaiming I'm born of him, some characteristic, okay, which is his love, the characteristic of God that why I would call him Father is that characteristic of his love for me, and then it says, or achievement, when I call him as Father, I'm proclaiming that he raised me from death. That is his achievement. He called me out of death. I see myself as his child. I understand and know the love that he has for me. And I'm proclaiming that he called me out of death. It's his achievement. His characteristic is his love for me. Absolutely. Absolutely. Isn't it those three areas that we're looking for? Oh.
A good identity.
Good identity.
Yeah.
A good identity what?
A good identity for me right now. Help me with my identity.
Yeah. See, it's all about identity. It's identity of child. We gotta see ourselves there first. Are you a child of God? Because if you don't, then you're not properly calling him Father. You don't really understand the word that's coming out of your mouth. It's not really coming from the heart. Do you know that he's your child?
Pastor, up until today, I would always say Father, but I never really got deep into it.
I have.
I knew that I was a child, but never thought about it the way that you presented it today.
I sat on my couch yesterday crying and still didn't know how to put it all together. I sat there just going, what? It was like God just said, you think you know this, but look at this. And I went, it's one of those duh moments. And I've sat around. I mean, I didn't know how all this went together until 7 o'clock this morning. sat in my office at 7 o'clock this morning, and everything that I had studied, and we're not done, we're going somewhere else, but everything that I had studied, I got it, and I could have taught on any one of those places. But Lord, how do these all go together? I couldn't. I didn't know how they all fit together, but I also didn't know, I didn't know how to let go of one of them. But if I'd have taught all of them in the depth that they were coming to me in, we'd be here till 5 o'clock tonight. I mean, it just kept coming and kept coming. If I call Him Father, I'm proclaiming that I'm born from Him. I'm proclaiming His love for me, and I'm proclaiming that He raised me from death. The achievement is that He raised Christ from the dead. Go to Romans chapter 8 real quick. Or it doesn't have to be real quick, I can wait. This is one of those chapters you could probably teach for months on Romans 8. It just goes on forever. But I want to, Romans 8, beginning in verse 11, it says, "But if the Spirit of Him that raised Jesus up from the dead dwell in you." If the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. I don't owe my flesh nothing. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. If I will put my flesh to death, He will raise me to new life in the Spirit. But I've got to put it to death. I've got to come out of the law of sin and death, and I've got to be living in the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ. My page turned. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God. Now, I looked at it in the Hebrew. To be led just means if I just took Christian and said, come here, and took him by the hand and just led him back here. But isn't that what his commandment does for me? Isn't the authoritative prescription that He has for me, the command that He would speak to me, the rhema word of God that He would speak to me and say, Mike, this is my exact prescription for you because my heart is to bring you into the fullness of my joy, my peace, all these things that I have for you, I'm going to bring you into the fullness of it. And when I believe into it, as a child looking to the Father, knowing that I'm born of Him, I'm believing into the commandments, I'm being led by the Spirit to bring me into that. Now I forgot the rest of the verse. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are what? The sons of God. They are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of slavery or of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So when I put my flesh to death, trusting in Him, I lay down my soul, I put down my flesh, and I'm not feeding my flesh. He will raise me to new life, lead me by the Spirit, and I'm no longer a slave to the fear, I'm no longer a slave and in bondage to all the things of the flesh, but I am set free in that, and in that freedom I come into the realization that I am His child, He loves me, and He's raised me from that death. He's taken me by the hand, by the heart more like it, took me by the heart and led me out of my captivity. Taking the captivity captive. Being led by the things of the Spirit. But it all comes through what? Me laying down my soul. Me getting me out of the way. Me not living to the flesh. Me believing that His commandment isn't a rule that I have to or He'll punish me. But it's a cry from the heart of the Father of love that says, please do this. Because my heart is to bring you into the fullness of who I am. My heart is to conform you into the image of my Son. My heart is to bring you into my presence, not just for an encounter with God, but for eternity. There's the hope. Yes. And we see the love and the faithfulness of the Father because He did it for Jesus. And if I do it for Jesus in Christ, when I believe into His work for me, He does the same for me. I start seeing the love of the Father. But you have to know you're His child first. We got to get that child thing down. He has not received the spirit of bondage or of slavery again to fear. Fear of what? Fear of death. We fear dying. We haven't come into the fear of death anymore. But we have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Father, my Father. But it only comes from when you see yourself as His child and the love that He has for you. Let's go back to 1 Peter. We're not done yet. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons, judges according to every man's work. If you call on the Father, and then it says something about Him, and it's for a reason. If you call on the Father, and then it describes Him, this Father who without respect of persons, judges according to every man's work. It's not about what you look like. It's not about if you're Jew or Gentile. It's not about whether you're male or female. Doesn't matter about any of that. All the diversity that we've been talking about, He judges. It says something about His character. All you have to do is believe into the works of Christ and see yourself as His child. And know that in that place, He's not determining, well, you deserve more. I'll let you come this far and I'll let Eddie go a little bit further. No, 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 no. It's His prescription for you as an individual that draws us all into the same place, which is the presence of the Father for eternity. Into His what? God is what? God is love. And how do you abide in His love? By keeping His commandments. This is where we started in John 15, 9 and 10. By obeying the commandment, we're drawn and we abide in His love by obeying that that authoritative prescription that He has for each one of us as individuals. But where I go wrong is I take my prescription that He has for me and I try to put it on other people. This is how it worked for me. You got to do it my way. My way or that other highway. You see what I mean? Sorry, I'll just smack you all over the place. Aren't you glad to be in here today and not back there in the back? Yeah. I got that. Yeah.
The word call means to sometimes shout out in a loud voice.
The what?
The word call. When you call upon your Father.
Oh, yeah.
Shout out in a loud voice. It's not, oh, please, God, help me.
I looked at that word call, and it is, oh, man, I don't think I wrote the word down. Epikaleo. Epikaleo, I believe it is. And it means to put upon the surname. Let me see, where did I find that at? I can't believe I didn't write that down. To call, it's to surname upon. So when I call on Him, I'm putting that name on Him. Okay? I'm recognizing Him as that. I'm calling upon, I'm surnaming Him. I'm choosing to see Him as Father. I add Father to God. It's how I see Him. I can see Him as God. I can see Him as Lord. But do I see Him as Father? I'm only going to call upon Him as Father when I see myself as child. You see what I mean? He's not saying, call me Father. God's not my name anymore. Father is my name. He didn't do that. It's not His name. It's based on relationship and how you view Him. And when you call on Him as Father, there's the heart. Now He begins to move. There's a scripture, and I don't remember where it's at. John 5. Oh, man. It's when you call on Him as Father, you'll be given what you ask for, is the gist of it. It's when you come into that position of calling on Him as Father. Such is the kingdom of God as these. As what? The children. You want all the things that you think you want, then start obeying the authoritative prescription and abide in His love, and from there you see yourself as a child and begin to call on Him as Father, now things start to happen. Because you've assumed the proper position. Daddy, Abba Father, I've assumed the right heart in relationship to who He is. He's not just God. This is why they got mad at Jesus speaking in tongues, man, it's going 100,000 miles an hour in my brain right now. When He referred to Him as my Father in heaven, they got mad because He made Himself equal with God. Who is this man to call Him Father? He didn't call Him Father in the Old Testament. This is a New Testament term. This is a relationship term. It brings it out of the, I'm God and this is the rules, to, you're my child. Everything's birthed out of the love. If we'll look at the Old Testament properly in the love, the expression of His love is there in the law. But we take it from a judgmental side. We don't see ourselves as His child. We see Him as this fearful, awesome God that is just looking to punish and judge everybody. No! It was the corrective hand of God. He sent the children of Israel into exile because He was drawing them back into the father-child relationship that He determined for them in the first place. I'll let you suffer. And when you get done suffering, you'll begin to call on Me again. And if you'll obey what I'm telling you, I'm going to draw you into a relationship, not just a state of being in your mind and how you view God. You've got to be obedient. Man, this is like going. Liz?
Confidence.
The what?
The fear of receiving.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Here I am again. What I saw when this was singing that song this morning, where it was so tender and blood of the Lamb, the very first, I had this flash of a child with his head down, holding his shoulders hunched over, like in shame or fear, and the finger of God reaching down under the chin and lifting the head, raising the head. The glory of the lifter of our head. And then it went immediately from that to a child that's distracted, going a million miles an hour, and two hands on both sides of the head, and turning the face back to Him. But the one that's the glory and lifter of our head, to this. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you. Lift your head to His face. Grab you and turn you to His face. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.
What's the last part of that? And put My name upon them. Which does what? The same as the surname Sharp was put on me in my birth, His name is put upon me and I become child of God. Ooh, yeah. You can't get back into the place of shame where you start comparing yourself with other people. Don't compare your walk with God with my walk.
Yeah.
Just start obeying His commands that He speaks to you and the things in your heart, because He's wrote them on the tablet of your heart. You know what you're supposed to be doing and what you're not supposed to be doing. Start obeying it. Quit comparing yourself to me and quit worrying that I'm comparing myself to you. There you go. And the beauty of it is now you start seeing true unity start coming to the church. When you obey the prescription for you, and you obey it for you, in the character and nature of His children, we all start fitting where we're supposed to fit, and unity begins to happen. Out of that adversity becomes one. Ooh. Woo! I'm having fun now. No. It will line up with this. We have to be careful. There's a fine line there, and it's the people that are going to have that heart. And this is where we all have a responsibility to one another. We all have a responsibility to one another. There, anybody ever been caught in their stuff and didn't realize they were caught in their stuff? Come on, I know the rest of you are just choosing not to raise your hands this morning. But we've all been caught up in our stuff and we're totally ignorant to it, right? I mean, it's like me sitting on the couch when I read that verse and call it when, and if you call on him as father, and it was like, I have to be a child verse. You get caught up in it and you don't realize what's going on around you. We need each other. We need each other. Remember, everybody that came to the tabernacle, they were depending on the priests. The priests were showing them what to sacrifice. The priests were showing them where to pour out the blood. The priests were showing them what to do. We need each other. We absolutely have to have one another but we have to be humble about it and in love, and that's where this gets to. The fear. Pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. It changes from a fear of God. My fear as a child was I feared my father's lack of approval. Does that make sense? I feared displeasing my dad. It kind of goes hand in hand with looking for his approval. The fear was that I would disapprove him. When the truth of it is that I was his son, no matter what I did or what I didn't do, he wasn't ever going to take that away from me. I was his son. My dad wasn't going to do that. He loved me. He just, you're my son. It wasn't based on the things that I did or didn't do, but I was so busy looking for what I thought was to right the wrong. You know what I mean? We want to right the wrong, and when your dad comes down on you, you feel like you've wronged, and then you got to do something right to make up for it, right? This fear is coming into it's past the time of your sojourning. It's like an exile. This word sojourning means realize that this is a temporary place. And don't get caught up in the temporal things and in the carnal things and allow it to affect your father-child relationship. That's the fear. I don't want anything here in this world to affect my child-father relationship with him. I want to be able to call on the Father without any hesitation. Pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. I don't know how to put it into words. There is a reverential part of it. The coming to him boldly is when we're truly believing into the works of Christ and know that we can come in him. Liz?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And because God doesn't do wrong. We do the wrong. And so that's when the fear comes, because now we have to please. Our nature is to please. We want to please. We want to be in that love, in that kindness, in that generosity of what the Father has given us.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we turn to that, that's when all fear and all the yuck starts up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I need to be found in him. This is where this gets really interesting, because there'll be little bits and pieces of it, and if you take all of the things that are being shared right now, you start getting a healthy perspective of the fear of God. It changes from this fear drawing away, running away from God, to I just want to keep my eyes set on you because I fear that anything else that I'm around is going to hinder this relationship. I don't want anything into my life or into my thoughts and anything else. I don't want anything to come into way that would hinder this with him. It's the abiding. And that's why his commandments are so important. Yeah. Absolutely. His name upon me. Look. There you go. Absolutely. It's in Christ. Okay. According to every man's work, pass the time here. Pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Forasmuch, knowing or perceiving that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain or from your empty, your worthless way of life, from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers. Okay? Forasmuch as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope may be in God. Seeing that you have purified your souls. Seeing you have purified your souls in what? Obeying the truth. Through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. That verse in the LITV says, having purified your souls in the obedience of the truth through the Spirit to unpretended brotherly love. Love one another fervently out of a pure heart. This is that pure heart that says, just because that was my authoritative prescription, I have no right to oppress you with it and try to get you to conform what God specifically gave for me. If I come in the right heart with a pure heart, I'm receiving from God the Father for you, and I will come alongside and I will confirm what the Father has already spoken to you. And I will encourage and I will uplift you so that you will walk in obedience to that and believe into it, because it is for your good. And I don't tear you down and point out how you failed in it, but know that the word, the gifts and callings are without repentance, and the things that he speaks to you still hold true. The things yesterday that he spoke to you that you were disobedient in, if you will do them today, the Father is right there still. He's still bringing you along to that place because he's drawing you into his presence for eternity. Having purified your souls in the obedience of the truth through the Spirit, to unpretended brotherly love. Love one another fervently out of a pure heart, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. It's that word that's spoken to you. It's incorruptible. It's that word that we're obedient to. It's that word that draws me into and that I realize I begin to come into the revelation that I am his child. It's by that word that I begin to cry out, Abba, Father. All of it just keeps, it's all intertwined. You can't leave out any part of it. You just got to believe into it. If you're having trouble hearing what God is saying to you, if you've got something going on in your life and you're having trouble hearing what God's saying to you, we need one another. That means quit hiding it, quit leaving it in the darkness, and step up and say, I need help in this area of my life. This is what I'm struggling with. And allow somebody else to minister the love of God to you. Because you're having trouble hearing. The goal is to get us all freed up so that we're hearing the voice of God. Imagine what happens in His purity and in that love in a place like this. And it's happening on a certain level in here today when people, the revelation starts coming, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit's bringing it up in different people. And it's all confirming and it's all edifying and it's building the body. Being tightly fit together to come in the body of Christ. Amen?
Section that says indwelling of the Father and the Son. It says on verse 20, it says, at that day you will know that I am in the Father and you are in me and I in you. And on verse 21, this is pure truth. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him.
Absolutely. The book of John probably has the most references to Father. And if you think about it, when we were going through in the tabernacle and looking at the character, the attributes of God in those four pillars that hold the veil up, one of those, we paralleled them with the Gospels, and the Gospel of John recognizes Him as the Son of God. If He's the Son, then who is God? The Father. And the reference all the way through there is my Father, our Father. If you do this, my Father will be in you. It's all of these references to the Father, but it brings the spiritual relationship into view of the whole thing. Cindy? I know, it's okay. I have that. I resemble that remark. I do that all the time. The thought's there, and this is where it's not supposed to end here right now. This is where we take this and chew on this and roll this around and sit on your couch and cry and seek God and read the Word and look at it and allow it to come to life in you, because you'll bring something here that will help someone else. Yeah. Yes. Just walk. Take His hand and walk with Him in the garden. There it is. Jesse, you got some?
Yeah. We're in. I'm getting a lot of identity. And it goes back to. I'm just thinking back and about God creating us. It's His love that prompted for us. It's like the love was the motivation. It was motivated by the love to make us for Him. And then in 1 John 3:1, it's, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we shall be called children.
Behold the love. Read that again.
Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us. I'll let you do the word thing on bestowed. That we should be called children of God. And this whole day sermon right now is just totally bringing an identity issue in me that I've been struggling with. And not really struggling, but just sometimes just I question. You know, come to him as a son. I am a child of God. And I don't know, it's just...
Say that again.
I am a child of God.
Yeah.
I am a child of God.
Absolutely.
And just behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed in us, that we shall be called children of God.
I am my earthly father's son, whether I'm 6 years old or 44. My whole childhood, all I wanted to ever do was grow up. My relationship with God, all I want to do is grow up. But it has to start somewhere. It says in Scripture, desire the sincere milk of the Word. But as I desire that milk, the simpler things of the not so deep, the easier to digest, those words, as I walk in obedience to those, it begins to prepare me for the deeper things. But it doesn't matter if I've been walking with him for a week or whether I've been walking with him for years, I still have to be obedient to the word, and the desire for his word will begin to grow. Walk in the simple things and desire the meat. Desire to mature in the things of God. Have a mature expectancy of his word and a mature hope waiting for him. Amen? I can do this all day long. You keep raising your hands and we'll just keep going. Liz?
Yeah.
Hi. Jesse, can I pray for you?
Yes.
Absolutely. Stand up. Lord, I thank you for Jesse. I thank you, Lord, that you've brought him here to be a part of this body, Lord. You haven't just walked him around in nothing. He's not wandering around the wilderness, Lord. You've set a land for him. You've created the boundaries for him, Lord. You've determined where he's to be. And Lord, I rejoice because it's with us. I thank you for my brother, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that he would hear that authoritative prescription, that which you have, the rhema word for him, so that he would flow and function, Lord God, in this place. That he would be obedient to it. Lord, I thank you that he is a part of this body. Thank you, Lord. He is a child of the living God. And he cries out to you, Father. I bless him right now. I bless him with peace. I bless him with joy. Happy Father's Day. Take the veils down and have that unfeigned love that it was talking about for one another and be honest with things like that. It's like when I see Cammy walk in the door, I'm excited. I don't know Cammy that well. I know some of her family better than I know her, but every time she walks through the door, I'm excited that she's here. But it's that unfeigned love. It's removing the veil and just being honest about it. When you're not here, you are missed. Even if you don't, and I know people that have done this, they will sit at home, they will skip church intentionally and wait at home just to see if anybody at church will call them. We laugh, but we've all done that in a little bit, in a sense. Maybe not to that drastic measure, but it happens. Because we want to know that people care about us, right? We want to know. I can't do it all. Let somebody know that you missed him at church. There are people missing here today. James?
There are a couple things. First of all, it's good to see David here.
Absolutely.
And second of all, I believe it was either last week or the week before, it came into my mind, and of course I have his phone number. I immediately called him and I go, dude, where's he? We've been missing him, man. Yeah. You know, I mean, yeah, of course, I have been gone a couple times because of work, but, you know, to come in here and not see him here, and it's like, man,
see, the authoritative prescription for James was to pick up the phone and call David. And what happened when he walked in that authoritative prescription, when he was obedient to it, did that encourage you when he called you? He got encouraged. It's no different than when I had Victoria pray for Mary last week, and she's praying and blessing Mary, and at the same time I'm watching the peace of God completely consume her. We got to be obedient to what God's telling us to do. This is when it'll all start happening. You do matter because you're a child of God. What you do in your obedience does matter to every single person that's in this room. Not just your family, not just you, but everybody here, because we're members one of another. Yeah. This is church.
Recognizing our identity as a child of God. Now I'm just going to confess something here right now. As a child of God, when someone receives someone from church and we have been in church and they say, hey, where have you been? Don't take that offense.
Yeah.
Because I've done that. I have. I'll be honest. I've, you know, missed church a few times and someone would say, hey, Jesse, where have you been? And I don't know if where it comes from, but I'll just get to it. Filming inside me to
I'm gonna tell him Victoria right now. She sent me a text this morning and said, love you, Pastor Mike. We're going to miss church today. We just got up. And I went, you still have time. Come on. It didn't take very long. And she went, all right, we're getting dressed. It's because we love you and we miss you when you're not in church. All of us want to stay home and watch TV every once in a while. All of us want to just, every once in a while you just get up and you just kind of got that, whatever. Remember, it's not just you that it's affecting. Yeah. I can sing that song with sincerity, and when I think that, it's not like the presence of God, like, okay, it's just me and you, God. It's like, no, it's right here. There's no place I'd rather be. When we start singing and everybody's in here, it's like I'm into the one line of the song, and when I hear everybody else singing, I lose it. I did it several times today. It's like all of a sudden the emotion and the joy of everybody being here and singing, when I hear it, I'm done. I ring and I hit the wrong chord and I'm all over the place and have to, because I got to stay focused on what I'm doing or it doesn't sound good. But the sound of your voices when you're singing, man, it brings me joy. It just fills me up. Can we end with that? Yeah, I'm ready to worship. I don't care. Eddie? Did you hear that? You're his girlfriend.
Girlfriend, that's weird. I haven't had a girlfriend in a long time, but I just really like you guys' prayers for us. And the beautiful thing that God's doing is bringing us together, and she's an amazing woman of God. And we cover your prayers, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely, we can. Anybody want to pray for Eddie and Tessa?
Yeah.
Awesome. Mike's coming. You're in trouble now. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we bless Tessa right now as a woman of God. Lord, I thank you that you've brought her here this time and this season, Lord. And I thank you that this relationship, Lord, in the blessing that it is, will glorify your name.
Yes, sir.
We bless them, Lord, that this relationship would grow as you grow each one of them as individuals, Lord, as you draw them into that father-child relationship. As they come into the revelation of that, Lord, as you bring them together as one. Lord, may it proclaim your glory. Herein is my Father glorified, that this relationship would bear fruit, Lord.
Yes.
As they are obedient to your commands, because, Lord, you have a perfect authoritative prescription for this relationship.
Yes, you do,
we bless them right now, Lord, that they would have ears to hear it and hearts to keep it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And sometimes I have to tell Bob that. I just want to say, when we leave here today, God's still there. I mean, God's in you, and God's in all of us. And, I mean, this is a building, this is a place, but he's out there.
Yeah.
We
can't. Mm-hmm. In spirit, we can, though.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Absolutely. Julie, thank you for being here this morning. Just one friend to another. Thank you. It's good to see you here. I want to worship, but I don't want to play my guitar. So, Joel, do you have any music up there? Actually, I know what I want to hear. We'll just turn it on my phone.